Thank you very much once again for this opportunity. Also, gentlemen, thank you so much, sir. Your dear wife, your lovely time, with your family, and then I was very touched and inspired hearing the first lady just communicate her thoughts.
Come on, dear, you take me. May the Lord bless you and bless His Excellency in Jesus' name. Are we ready for this morning? Can we lift our hands to heaven and ask the Lord one more time to give us a visitation? The Bible says they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Father, we bless you.
Let our King lift their hands. Let your name lift their hands.
Father, we pray that you help us this morning. We have come to receive understanding. We have come to be imparted. Spirit of the living God, we pray that you find unrestrained access in our midst today. And let Jesus be glorified. For in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Please be seated. God bless you. So yesterday we began discussing the subject of seed, and let me encourage you. I believe that the teachings are available across various platforms. Do well to search and then pay attention to listen, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. I believe that the first hearing talks of awareness, but the second hearing talks of understanding. It takes more than awareness to be transformed and to have faith built within you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, even by the word of God. Hallelujah. But then, just a quick recap so that we can connect to what we're doing this morning. I said a few things yesterday that I want to quickly recap on. Number one, I said that it was important for us to be aware that the unit of destiny is time. That destiny is measured as a function of time. And whatever you give your time to, you are giving part of your life and your destiny to. And then we did say that under normal circumstances, that time cannot be reversed. Once it passes, it is gone. Then we also said that we do not have the luxury of unlimited time. It is not given to any man to have the luxury of unlimited time. Our times are measured, our times are finite. Hence the need to live effective and efficient lives. I also did say that time, like money, can be invested, time can be spent, and time can be wasted. The Bible is full of people who invested their time, others spent it casually, and many sadly wasted their time. Then I said, for various reasons such as ignorance, carelessness, and demonic factors, that many already at their current state have time against them. And we have coined out names that represent the tragedy of the lack or deficiency of time. For instance, we call it delay, we call it stagnation, we call it setbacks, and so on and so forth. But that in the dealings of God with men, He factored a system to remedy this constraint of time. And that there are two systems of advantage according to Scripture that can help men redeem time. This was the apex of our discussion yesterday, that number one is called seed. Number two is called restoration. The assignment of seed and restoration is to insist that we eventually exert dominion over time, regardless what it is that happens in between. Hallelujah. And then I did tell us that there are a few keys that can help the believer to walk in the reality of speed. In fact, I did define speed, among other definitions, as accelerated accomplishment within a short period of time. Take note of that definition. I consider it a profound distinction, accelerated accomplishment within a short period of time. It has to be great accomplishment within a short period of time. Hallelujah. And we discussed three keys very quickly yesterday, a final recap on them. Key number one that helps men to walk in the reality of speed is wisdom. And we examine very briefly the parable of the 10 virgins according to Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. I did tell you that that parable was not about sin or righteousness. They were all virgins. It was about the advantage of wisdom in securing speed and causing delay or otherwise in the life of the believer. The Bible says five of them were wise and five of them were foolish, even though they were all virgins. And it was the delay of the bridegroom that justified their wisdom. If the bridegroom came early, both the wise and the foolish would all look wise. So delay can reveal whether we are walking in wisdom or otherwise. The delay of the bridegroom now showed the advantage of carrying extra oil. Number two, very quickly, we looked at the second key as favor. Favor, according to Exodus 12:36, the Bible tells us that God granted the nation of Israel favor even before the Egyptians, and they lent unto them such as they required, and that the nation of Israel spoiled the Egyptians. And I did tell us that there are tripartite forces that validate the presence of favor in the life of the believer. Please do not forget that one. That favor is favor only when we see in your life unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, and unusual access. If these tripartite forces are at work in the life of an individual, it is safe to believe that you are walking in favor. Hallelujah. And finally, we said you can activate speed in your life by praying speed-provoking prayers. A case study as we considered yesterday was the life of Elijah the prophet. That Elijah prayed and prayed seven times until the cloud was heavy and ready to rain. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he ran on barefoot and even overtook the chariots of Ahab, even down to Jezreel. Hallelujah. Our text for the discussion yesterday was Matthew 27, and the key verse was verse 20. When Jacob came to deceive his father Isaac, purporting to be Esau, the father asked him a question and said, I sent you to go and hunt. How come you have returned this fast? And his testimony was, because the Lord had given me. The Lord brought this advantage to my life. Hallelujah. This morning, very quickly, I'd like us to consider, I'm not going to do an elaborate teaching because of our time, and then because I want us to have some time to pray. Let me talk a bit on restoration as the second key, the second system of advantage that grants the same dominion over time. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, according to Scripture, that years can be restored. This is good news. From a scientific standpoint, from a standpoint of geography, we know that time only moves forward. There is no possibility for going back in time. Hallelujah. But then the Bible tells us that years can be restored. The Bible also tells us that things can be restored. The Bible lets us know that people can be restored. And the Bible lets us know that destiny can be restored. So take note, things, people, time, and destiny can all be restored. Hallelujah. A very interesting scripture that not many people pay attention to when we're exploring the book of, especially 1st and 2nd Kings. We're familiar with the story of the wife and the sons of the prophets, and then the ass head and all of that. But there's a story I want us to consider very quickly for our reference this morning. 2nd Kings chapter 8. We're looking at the first 6 verses. 2nd Kings 8, the first 6 verses. Please help us, media. Thank you. The Bible says, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise and go to thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." Reading to verse 6. The Bible says, "And the woman arose and did after the sayings of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years." Verse 3. It says, "And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, a great thing that Elisha hath done." 5. "And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." Let's read verse 6 together. Ready? 1, 2, read. "And when the king asked the woman, she told him, So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers, and all the fruit of the field, even until now." Someone receive it as a prophecy, say amen. But the king demanded from Gehazi, "Tell me, I hear a news that something remarkable has been happening through the life of the prophet." And then he was talking about the restoration of this woman's son. Remember, according to scripture, that it was by prophecy this woman had a child in the first place. She was barren, and having discerned that Elisha was a man of God, she prepared a place to communicate honor. And Elisha said, it is not fair that you are showing me some kindness and then I do not respond to you. What do I do for you? I have access to the king." And she said, "No, I live among my own people." And then Gehazi tells her that this woman has been without a child. And then the prophet speaks to her and says, "According to the time of life, that he will surely return with his son." True to his word, she takes in, and then God gave her a male child. And in the passage of time, the Bible says the child became sick and he died. Remember the story? And when he died, news got to Elisha that the son that came by prophecy had died. And many things happened in between, but the bottom line is eventually God used the prophet to restore the son. So that news got to the king. And while they were lasting through the period of famine, now the king was demanding to know the details of what had happened. And when the famine was over, the woman came to the king to make petitions and said, "Listen, during the time of famine, I lost my house and I lost my land, and I'm pleading to be restored." Very powerful. This already is a lesson that even though the woman felt she was weak, whoever it is that took, or whoever it was that took her land, she could go to the king and make petitions. That sounds to me like Luke 18, that Jesus spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in that parable, he speaks about a judge that did not fear God nor consider men. Then he spoke about a frail and fragile woman who kept going to the judge to say, "Avenge me, my adversary." And the Bible says, for a time he would not listen to her, but for her importunity, her persistence. Hallelujah. That story was supposed to be a portrait of the power of prayer. That even though this king was hard-hearted, he would not fear God nor regard man. What a dangerous thing. If the man did not fear God, that means his convictions were not towards God. And if he did not regard men, you could not use men to entreat his favor. And yet the woman wearied the king by her consistent cry until he responded to her. So back to this story now. The Bible says when the woman came and pleaded with the king made a decree. And this is what God is saying concerning someone's life this morning. He said, restore all that was hers and all the fruit of the field. Hallelujah. That she had since the time that she left the land, even until now. Now, I told you yesterday that there is a wide difference between restoration and progress. Progress is concerned with forward movement. You are making progress if you take steps, incremental steps. But when it has to do with restoration, restoration number one is only necessitated when there is a constraint in times of not maximizing time. The assignment of restoration is to pick you up by the mercy of God and to put you in the position you would have been if that constraint did not happen. Are we together? So for instance, let me have two gentlemen, please come. Let me use you very quickly. I see one, the other one, God bless you, please come. No, it's not an invitation. This gentleman. Okay, so let's have one here and then the other. Now, I want you to stand here facing me, both of you. Watch this. Come, my friend. Stand with him very quickly so that we save time. I want to show you the difference between progress and restoration. The gentleman wearing this, both of you will be walking together, then eventually you're going to stop. Then you keep walking. Not too fast. Are we together? So let's assume in this story, born on the same day, under the same circumstance, and now they begin their journey in life and destiny. Come. Are you saying that now? Both of them? No. You are not. That's not what I said to you. No. This guy is really ready to ask. What is it? Now, listen. You just stop where you are. Now, we are stopped and this man is moving. We call this delay. Don't run too fast, my friend. We call this stagnation. Are you seeing that they started at the same place? And our assumption is that they are living their life under the same conditions. Meaning, if this guy were not constrained, he would have been here. Are we together? Now, keep moving as slow as you can. If I take away what is limiting this guy, he still is not restored. It is only progress that will continue. That lack is still there. The assignment of restoration is to pick him and bring him to this position. So that if you look at your life in the future, you cannot see that gap. It is not restoration, it is the gap still remains. If someone gets the story, so recall again that they started at the same level, and for whatever reason, this man was set back, and then this guy continued to move. Does that sound like what happened to Jesus? The Bible says Jesus told the disciples to pick up their boat and to go, and he remained and was praying. They were 6 hours ahead of him. Is that true? And then the Bible says, without a boat, Jesus got up and started walking on water. And within a short time, he had caught up with them and they were surprised. Peter looked at him and said, what is going on here? Thinking he was a ghost. He said, no, do not be afraid, it is I. And then he said, if it is thou, bid me come. And he said, come. That means that reality can also be your portion. Hallelujah. You get the story now? Do not forget this. Let's ask it one more time. Now you know what to do. So, they are starting their story again. I need you to get it. Watch this. Okay, so, let's start. This may be the same for maybe your job, maybe in ministry, maybe in family, and then either do a demonic attack or whatever inside you down, and you're watching your destiny, you are growing in age, but not growing in achievement, not justifying time. And God sent you to this conference not just to make progress. Are we together now? The assignment of restoration is to pick you by the means of the Spirit and to bring you to this point, so that this man will turn and find out you are still there. And I remember when I was doing my master's, you didn't even have a vision. How come we are both professors right now? What is going to happen? I remember when I had my first child, you were still trusting God for the fruit of the womb. How come you are celebrating 4 children in 1 year? What is going to happen?
Who is like him? Lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roll to the Lord of hosts. We will praise Adonai, come rising up the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the elders and the saints.
I sang that song because in the name of Jesus Christ, someone who came here, it looks like people are looking at your life, and your life is even a story to warn people. When they want to use an example of delay and progression, you are the faith that will present such an example. In the name that is above all names, the God that is bringing speech is the same God bringing restoration. Gentlemen, God bless you. Let us pray for you. Since you have come to be the first partaker in that day, we give the supernatural grace, for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's celebrate that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, please let your attention for the next 5-10 minutes. I want you to be very sensitive. Very, very sensitive. There are 5 reasons. Let me talk so that I put perspective to this subject of restoration. I want to give you 5 quick reasons why people experience losses, delays, and stagnation. It's important that we put this in perspective. There are 5 reasons. I'll not have the time to discuss them in detail, but I just want you to write and please pay attention. I told you that restoration is not needed unless and until there is a constraint. Something would have happened to you and has brought time to be against you. Let's look at the 5 things that keep men to lose time, lose things, lose out on their destiny. All losses can be factored in within these 5 reasons. Anything you have lost in your life up until now, I am telling you sincerely, you can find out the reason why those losses came from these 5 reasons. Number 1, lack of discernment. The first reason why people lose things is because of lack of discernment. Very quickly, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, where therefore we ought to give the more energy to these things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. Hallelujah. The things that make for the excelling of the believer are very fragile and slippery. The moment you are not discerning, you can let them sleep. Hallelujah. Lack of discernment. I wish I had time, I would have taken you pursue scriptures so that you see the tragedy of not sustaining a heart of discernment. Number two, very quickly, carelessness. The second reason why people experience losses that can translate to delay, stagnation, is carelessness. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. The same Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's read together if you find it. Ready? One, two, read. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? So, carelessness, a laissez-faire attitude towards life and towards things, can translate to losses. Carelessness. I'm tempted to read for you a scripture in Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11, I begin my reading from verse 30. Let's try and see how fast we can make that. Judges chapter 11 from verse 30. Now watch this. I want you to see the role of carelessness in securing losses in our life. Follow this story very carefully. The Bible says, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto God and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, reading to 35, then shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the door of my house to me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. That sounded like a nice prayer, but that was a display of carelessness. Verse 33 now. And he smote them from Aroah even till thou come to the mead, even to 20 cities, unto the place of the vineyard, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. 34. Watch it now. And it came to pass, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with Israel and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son or daughter. But he had made a statement that would now implicate his 35. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot go back. Carelessness. Hallelujah. It was not a demand that was placed on him like Abraham. Offer your son. He had an option to just say thank you, Jesus. But out of zeal, without thinking, he went to say, the first thing that opens my door when I return, I will offer to you. And his daughter came with a well-intentioned heart to celebrate our victorious father. Carelessness. There are many things we have said, there are many things we have done that have scheduled seasons of losses. Some of us, our children, are suffering from the carelessness of the speaking even of parents. There are people today whose names have become padlocks to the lives of their spouses, their children, because of unguarded statements, uncultured statements. Losses always happen because of carelessness. Are we learning? Number three, very quickly. The third reason why people lose in life is ignorance of the laws of life and the laws of the kingdom. The third reason why people experience losses, why people experience all kinds of setbacks with respect to time, is ignorance. Ignorance of the laws of life and ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. This is very important. The Bible says in Psalm 82, when you read from verse 5, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Psalm 82 from verse 5. Verse 6 says, I have said, ye are God, and all of you are children of the Most High. But the tragedy is in verse 7. It says, but he shall die like men, and fall like one of the priests. So verse 5 says, they know not. It's a problem of ignorance. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, a very popular scripture. The prophet, speaking by the Spirit, said, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." He calls them my people, yet he still connects them to destruction. My people are destroyed, not because of the invisibility of Satan. My people are destroyed, not because I am limited. They are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Are we still together? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2. Please give it to us. Ignorance of the laws of life and ignorance of the laws of the kingdom. The Bible says also that a soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hateth with his feet sinneth. That it is not good for a soul to be in ignorance. Ignorance can cost an individual his life. Please look at me for one moment. If by reason of ignorance I decide to jump off this pulpit, assuming there were no steps here, my knowing the law of gravity or not does not stop me from being punished by the consequence of violating it. Is that true? Life and destiny is surrounded by laws. There are laws. For instance, the law of honor. Dishonor itself is the principal reason why all doors close. Are we together? Just violating the law of honor can peg a man at a period forever, can leave you incapacitated. All doors close because of dishonor. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, and dishonor to principles. So ignorance of the laws of destiny. Can I give you number four? The fourth reason why people experience losses in their lives is abuse and misuse. Abuse and misuse. Abuse and misuse. Please write it down. Abuse and misuse. People abuse and misuse privileges. People abuse and misuse opportunities. And sadly, they do so to their detriment. Abuse and misuse. A classic example of this is found, we may not read it for the sake of time, but please just write for reference. 1 Samuel chapter 2, when you read from verse 12 to 17, this is the story of the priest called Eli and his sons. Remember his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible says, according to the law that governed priesthood, that every time they were offering the sacrifice, they were at liberty to use the fork to pick out a portion that was for them. Are we together? Because the Bible says that he that serves by the table should also eat from the table. But it got to a point where the sons were taking advantage of that, and they began to select intentionally choice portions for themselves alongside many other atrocities. Can I tell you, everything God gives you that you begin to abuse, he will withdraw it, even if he's the one who gave it. Hallelujah. An example of abuse and misuse was something that happened in one of Jesus' crusades. The Bible says, according to one synoptic account, that the people had carried 5,000 men, aside women and children, and they were hungry. And Jesus, demonstrating responsibility, said, "These people have been here, they've left everything, do not let them just go like that." And then he said, "Serve them." And the disciples said, "Where are we going to get enough to serve these people?" Then he multiplied bread and fish. Notice, every time there was hunger, there was obedience and order. The Bible says that they should sit down in bands of 50. Because they were hungry, they sat quietly. But as soon as they began to be full, wastage started coming. And at the end of it, there was no record of them saying thank you. They walked away, and Jesus said, "Don't mind them." Gather the crumbs they have thrown on the ground. And they found out that the people had wasted 12 baskets full. You would think that Jesus, who had the power to multiply such bread, should not hear about 12 baskets. Hallelujah. If he had the power to turn 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 men, aside women and children, and it's been agreed that usually in such programs you will find more women and children than men, because men will usually watch from afar before they come. They will have to verify that all things are well. I hope I'm right. Hallelujah. So you can imagine how many people Jesus would have attended to. The moment they became full, lawlessness and wasting came, threw the bread and walked away. And Jesus said, gather the crumbs. And they found out that it was five. Isn't it amazing that if you were to see the little crumbs, they would not amount to much. But when he brought them together, he found out that they had wasted 12 baskets full. Abuse and misuse. There are many people today who have lost strategic and valuable relationships because they did not understand the privilege that God gave them. Am I right on that? There are some of you today, probably by reason of your privileged position, to grant them access to people who were otherwise not deserving of it. And they became so familiar, probably a political office, probably maybe, you know, all kinds of things. It's important that we are always attentive to the fact that we must never become too familiar with open doors and the help and the mercy of God. This is one of the reasons why I sincerely honor your man of God and his dear wife for their intention as far as communicating honor is concerned. I have seen it happen in this church. I know that this is a house of honor, and I salute you for this. Thank you. Hallelujah. Abuse and misuse. There's no time we would have considered Matthew 25. If you study from verse 14 down to 13, we find captured in that story what we know as the parable of the talents. But very quickly, to give you a recap, you can write for reference Matthew 25, 14 to 13. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a journey, a far journey. Is that true? And the Bible says he called three people and he gave unto one 5 talents, he gave unto one 2 talents, he gave unto the other 1. And the Bible says according to their several abilities, not according to his love for them. That means he had watched them over a period of time. And at the end of that story, you will see that he was right in distributing such talents. Then the Bible says the man who had 5 went and traded it and came back with 5 more. The man who had 2 went and traded it and came back with 2 more. But the issue of concern and the lesson is the guy who had 1 talent. You can see he deserved to have 1. In fact, he shouldn't have had any at all. That one that was given to him was clearly a product of mercy. And the Bible says he went and buried it. You bury seed, not talent. Talent should never be buried. You develop and deploy talent. It is seeds that are buried upon the earth, not talent. And then the Bible says, after a period of time, the owner of the talent came to demand accountability. To the man with 5, he said, what have you done? And he said, I've multiplied 5 more. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. One of his synoptic accounts said, you have been faithful with little, you will be enthroned over kingdoms. To the man with 2, the same commendation came. Now, but the issue was the guy with the 1 talent. Look at the kind of nasty, ungrateful attitude. When it was his thought, guess what he said? I know that you are a hard man. You like reaping where you did not sow. So I thought to help you, let me just bury your talent. Here is the talent. I did nothing with it. You couldn't have given 1 5, given 1 2, and given me 1. We are not your slaves. And he collected the talent, gave to the one who had 10, and called him a wicked and unprofitable servant. 2 dangerous statements. You should never allow yourself to be mentioned as touching these 2 things. 1 wicked and 2 unprofitable. Any of them will make you a failure. Are we together now? Whether you are wicked or unprofitable, they will lead you to the same direction eventually. So he calls him a wicked and unprofitable person. In other words, he said, if you felt I was an unfair man, why didn't you take it to the bank? Those who would place value on that talent, at least I would have gotten an interest for keeping my money there. There are many people who have had the honor of coming from privileged families, but have abused that opportunity.
There are many people who have had privileges to never write an exam twice because of the kind of good schools they went to, and yet they can point to their parents and say, you have not done enough. It is amazing that sometimes we are quick to look at what we feel God has not done, and we forget to say thank you for the ones that He has done. An example of this was the story of the prodigal son. The Bible tells us that that man came, he was a responsible man, obviously, and he had two sons, and they had access to everything, but one was dissatisfied with access. He wanted ownership. I think I've said it in this church that owners are rebels. In the kingdom, we are never called to own things. Owners are rebels. The earth is the Lord and its fullness thereof. Anything you are given for stewardship. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 and 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are we together? Yes. We are stewards. In the Garden of Eden, they were not given ownership, but they were given access. You may freely eat, but it is not your own. Abuse and misuse. Every time God opens a door for you, you must realize that not everybody has that kind of open door. And you must be attentive to say thank you. Let me tell you this. The greatest way to manage abuse and misuse is to perpetually remain grateful. Communicating gratitude is one of the scriptural antidotes to a life of abuse and misuse. Because gratitude compels you to remember. It is difficult to be grateful if you are not thoughtful. It takes thoughtfulness to be grateful. Are we together?
You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and pour your love. You look beyond you. You look beyond you. You look past my sin, my guilt, my shame, and hold your love. You look beyond me, you look beyond me. I'm the one you have so much. You have so much. You have so much. Say, I'm the one, say. You are so mighty. You are so mighty.
By the time you remember where he picked you from as a man of God, by the time you remember that as a businessman once upon a time you thought the streets of Abeokuta on foot and nobody would even recognize you, it is important to always think back and take advantage of the faithfulness of God. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, here it is, and forget not His benefits. Let it not be, Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you begin to read from verse 15, he said, beware lest when you have built houses, when your herds and your flocks are multiplied, when all of this and that happens, then you will say to yourself, my power and my might has brought me this. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord your God. Let me tell you, people of God, please hear me, and I want you to please pay attention. Do you know what is responsible for this balloon success you see people experience, whether in life or ministry? Somewhere in the equation of their success, they forget how faithful God has been, and then they stop being grateful. Ingratitude reprograms failure. It brings back your yesterday into your today. Hallelujah. That a man's blessing can be cursed through the carelessness of ingratitude. It leads to misuse. It leads to abuse. May your yesterday never be better than your tomorrow. Because the Bible declares that the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more, even unto the perfect day. Abuse and misuse. Let me give us the fifth.
Are we learning this morning? So I said, number one, lack of discernment. Number two, carelessness. Number three, ignorance of the laws of life and of the kingdom. Number four, abuse and misuse. And then number five, the fifth reason why people experience losses are tests and trials. Tests and trials. Tests and trials. James chapter 1 from verse 2 and 3. It is true that when people go through tests and trials, it usually comes with all shades of losses. James chapter 1 from verse 2 and 3. Here's what it says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And if you want to add one more verse, verse 4 says, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I do not know any man going through a season of tests and trials that would have the same thing remaining as he was before it started. Not even Jesus. Are we together? There are seasons in our life where for various reasons, certain realities befall us, like it was for Job. When you read the book of Job chapter 1, beginning from verse 9 downwards, you will see that the Bible tells us that Job was a man who feared God and eschewed evil, but that one time there was a meeting that happened in the heavens, and Satan was also there, and he said, have you considered my servant Job? And here was a statement. He said, does Job serve you for nothing? He said, he's only serving you because of the abundance of the privileges around his life. Give me access to touch him, minus his life, and I assure you he will cost you to your face. And he said, all right, you have access to that, but make sure his life is safe. Then the Bible said, a certain day came on earth where back to back, I forbid that over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. I do not know any human being who can survive that back-to-back return of negative testimony. And in all of the tragedies, there was only one witness that remained to come and talk to Job. Thunder struck his cattle, his children died, everything happened, and at the end of it, Job sat down. The Bible says he bowed himself and worshipped. That was the response of Job in the midst of that tragedy. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. A time came when his own wife said, Job, why do you still hold your integrity? He said, to curse God and die. Hallelujah. There are many people who have experienced losses in their life for various reasons. Not all losses come as a result of carelessness. There are seasons in our lives where God tests and proves us. I know that it's not a very comfortable message, but you will never be trusted until you are proven. This is true. It is consistent with how God works. Let me show you this from Scripture. Please give us Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's read from verse 13. We'll not read all the portions. We'll just find somewhere and stop. I like us to just follow very carefully, and then it says, and when thy herd and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, verse 14, it says, then thy hand be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord your God. Watch this now. Which brought thee forth from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage? 15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, where were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the midst of rock? Why did you do all of this? He said, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not? Let's read the remaining part together. That he may humble thee, and that he may rule thee, to do this good at thy latter end. Run away from people who have commitments of all sorts in their life without being proven.
whether as leaders, whether as, if you suddenly become a millionaire and a billionaire without a track record of being tested, you are only holding a rubber ring to return back. I guarantee you. Hallelujah. Anything that does not come by growth is not scheduled to last. There is a gift that most people have rejected in their life. It is called pain. Not all pain are demonic. You will find out in the life of every successful man that there is a pain factor that helps you to preserve results. Anybody who tells you the success story and you do not find the pain factor, run away. That is a bad model to follow. If you want the throne, then you cannot escape the cross. Joseph, if you want to sit down with Potiphar, for whatever reason, be ready to go to the prison. You see, the prison is where both good and bad people meet. It is dangerous to conclude on people when they are in the prison because you don't know who is who. If you are Joseph, you can still be in the prison. If you are the wine presser, you can still be in the prison. Another example is the cross. The cross is where both good and bad people meet. You can be concluding on Jesus whereas he was innocent. Anybody you see on the cross, just leave them with your prayer. Because it will take high level discernment to know who is a thief and to know who is Jesus. The cross and the prison are two mysterious places where both good and bad people meet. I hope you believe what I'm sharing with you. For Jesus himself, our Savior and Lord, he needed to pass through the cross. And you would imagine three people, notice, in the prison. Contextually speaking, there were three people too. Joseph, and there was a wife presser on one hand and the baker. Now you have Jesus and you have two things. And one was insulting Jesus. You claim to be a miracle worker and you have no power to bring us down. And the other one said, don't be foolish, we are caught in it. This man is sincere and innocent. Jesus looks at him and says, you pass the test. This day, you will be with me in paradise. Joseph looks at two bakers, one, the wine presser and the baker, he condemned one. He said, what a tragic dream you have. Those baskets on your head represent 3 days, and the king will call you. Unfortunately, you will not be restored. You will be killed, and the birds will feed on your flesh. For the wine presser, he said, the king will call you and you will be restored. And his leader, the king, he said, please, when you go, advocate my innocence. And the man went there and forget. He forgot completely and added 2 years plus whatever number of times Joseph had. I prayed for you yesterday. Let me repeat the prayer. May your destiny helper not forget you. Forgetfulness, even medically speaking, is not a good thing. Is that true? You don't clap for anybody who forgets. That is why in the spirit there is a book called the Book of Remembrance. It was customary of kings those days to have books where they recorded the good deeds of men so that the king's memory would not stop him from being benevolent. That was what happened to Mordecai. The Bible says that night could not Ahasuerus sleep, and he said, bring me the chronicles. And they opened and found there. Let me digress and speak over someone. You've been part of many people's success stories. They would not have reached it but for your impact, and they have forgotten you. In this season, I stand in faith with the grace upon this house, and I prophesy that the Book of Remembrance is open for you. The Bible says, when the Book of Remembrance was opened, they found where Mordecai saved the life of the king, and he was not rewarded. And he said, who is in the chamber there? And they said, Haman. He said, come, what should be done to such a man? And Haman thought it was he. Who else would the king favor this one? And he looked for the best description of honor and told the king. He said, let none of this fail. Do this for Mordecai. I'm saying it again. You help someone, maybe go to school, and now the person is in a privileged position and is forgotten you. You have invested in encouraging someone at their downtime. Can I tell you, it is an error to communicate help and be forgotten. I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, may God cause your help and to remember. Hallelujah. oppressor forgot about Joseph and added 2 years to his tail. But when it was time for God to lift him, the Bible says the king had a dream. The king had a dream. And then the heavens were shut over all the sorcerers and the necromancers. They could not access the meaning of that dream. And the wine presser said, I remember my wrong this day. There was a man that I left in the prison who should not be there. And the Bible says the king sent for Joseph and they brought him out of his dungeon. Hallelujah. So tests and trials are moments in our lives. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 1 and 2, it says, fear not, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. It says, through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. Then it says, when you walk through the fire. Amazing that when it has to do with fire, you don't run through it. You walk through the fire. You walk through the fire. Maybe there's someone going through that season. As a man of God, those seasons can come upon you where you are suffering what God is using you to liberate other people from. You speak over people's finances and doors open, yet you are owing your own rent. And you are crying to God and say, Lord, take this reproach off me. Let me speak to you, Jerome, because at the end of it, provided you stand with your integrity, trusting the God of heaven, he will come through for you. I repeat again that there's no great man I know who cannot tell you seasons where they had to cry. Not even Jesus was scared of fear. The Bible says in John 11:35, and Jesus wept. It's a very serious statement. How could life weep? How could the fountain of wisdom weep? How could the author of everything weep? You would see Jesus hanging upon that cross and wonder, how could a miracle worker, what will he be doing naked on the cross? There are times when great people cry. And if you are one of them, find comfort. You are not the first. The Bible says the thing that is the thing that was and the thing that will be. Apostle, you don't want to imagine I'm owing right now, I'm in debt, I've lost in business, or maybe I'm a student, I've had piles of carryovers, I don't know where to go to, or since I graduated, I've never had the opportunity to get a good job. My name is a negative song on the lips of many people. The assignment of every believer when you go through tests and trials is to make sure that your faith and your integrity is preserved. That your Redeemer lives, and for sure he will bring you out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm tempted to remember the early days of ministry. I may have said it here when we were preparing to go for crusade. Did you know while we were going for crusade by faith, where we were going to launch the team, we did not even have the money to pray for it. We just knew that we were going there by faith. Sometimes it's good that people hear these stories of faith, so that they do not believe that people magically just become. There is nobody who comes out of nowhere. No. Just because you were not in the wilderness with David does not mean he was not there. He had to fear the bear and the lion. Goliath was not his first obstacle. Are we together? And I remember while we were preaching on that crusade ground, we had hired sound people. And at that time, it was quite an amount, 150,000. And you would think it's a very small amount now, but let your mind go back to that time and you will see that it was a serious amount. And do you know what it means to be praying, healing the sick on a crusade ground and shouting and saying, Jesus the same yesterday, and the people you are owing are also on the crusade ground, just waiting for you to finish your crusade and justify that statement. Sometimes when you preach as a man of God, after shouting and talking, then you go back and say, Lord, I hope you are going to defend me for this statement I have made. Finish the crusade, powerful time, mighty miracles, but the problem was that we needed help, even for the people to go back. I remember then I had to tell them, I said, don't worry, we negotiated with the boss people who said, you just return back. By the time you get here, someone will be waiting with your money. Do you agree? He said, yes. I said, okay, be on your way, go with them. The hotel people, I'm around, I'm not going anywhere. God is faithful. The sound people, well, I will know what to do with you. Where is the God that heals? Where is the God that prophesies to men? I am here standing. Listen to my teaching when God is silent. Look for that teaching. I taught you that the silence of God is a language you must understand. Most people do not know what God is saying when He is silent. You need to learn what God is saying when He does not speak. Because His silence is a language. Hallelujah. When you walk through fire, He said. Unfortunately, I look at the way people mismanage opportunities in ministry today, and it's a testimony that many people were not trained well. There is a level of fire that when you go through, it edges some memories in your mind that help you preserve results forever. Hallelujah. When you go to heaven, one of the ways you know who Jesus is not by the crown on His head, because the elders have crowns too. The saints in heaven, we will be given, there are seven crowns that will be given in heaven according to Revelation. One of these is the victor's crown, another is the Matthias crown. So if you are to use crown, you may, the crowns on people's heads, you may point the wrong person at Jesus. What you need to look at to verify who Jesus is to ask everyone to lift their hands. The hands that has the nail scars is Jesus. I'm saying this because the scar you are now carrying that you are ashamed of will become the symbol of your honor tomorrow. A day will come where the only thing that qualifies you to sit with the great is your scar, not even your seal. Do not throw away your faith and hide it and leave it for a time when you will see the value of that thing. Apostle, I've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb for 5-6 years. I'm tired of this shame. Do not be afraid of it. A day will come, you are the only one who will be able to preach that message. Because everybody will be too innocent to preach that sermon. You are the only one that will have the credence by reason of your pain to preach that sermon. I promise that it's a charge this morning. So let me get back so that we'll pray. Let me give us four keys that control restoration very quickly. Thank you for your patience. Four keys that control restoration. Number one, anyone who is in need of restoration, you must do the following. Are you ready? The first key that controls restoration, I wrote here, is self-examination. You will never experience restoration until you take the time to evaluate and examine yourself. Haven't considered the factors that lead to losses. Just praying for restoration will only be a waste of time, because in many cases there may be need to put certain things in order. Are we together now? Self-examination is the best key if you want to experience restoration. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, please read what? The Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self, he says. Examine yourself. That means you need to get to a point where you say, listen, why am I experiencing losses in relationships? Why am I experiencing losses in my finances? Why am I swinging left and right like a pendulum as far as my spiritual fire is concerned? There is something that happens to a man when you sit down and examine yourself. Unfortunately, many people are too busy blaming others and pointing fingers, so they cannot experience restoration. We blame every other thing but ourselves. The word responsibility comes from the word responsive. The ability to factor in the cost dimensions of your decisions. Are we together? And in Africa, we are experts, unfortunately, at blaming people, whether justified or not, if you do not take the time to examine yourself, you will always end up in tragedy. In Luke chapter 15 from verse 17 to 20, this was the prodigal son in his fallen state. The Bible says that he demanded that his portion of the father's inheritance be given to him. Then the Bible says he went and spent it on riotous living with his friends. Is that true? By the time we get to verse 17, the gentleman was now feeding with swine. He had so declined and his life had been so degraded, he was feeding with pigs. But my Bible says he came to himself. I like that. He never said the Holy Ghost spoke to him. He never said God called him. Men can come to themselves. You can come to yourself and say, listen, this pattern in this family where women feed the men, I think it is changed. This pattern in this family where it looks like an untimely death, there is something that happens to men when you stay with the spirit and examine yourself. So the young man tells himself, the Bible says he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants have my father? And then I am here feeding with the swine. Then he said, I will arise. This was his conclusion from self-examination. I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against you and I have sinned against heaven. I am not worthy to be called your son, but take me as one of your slaves. And the Bible says he got up and put action to his decision. And that began the process of his restoration. There are many people who are waiting on God. God is honestly waiting for you. A popular scripture in the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, you know that scripture, shall humble themselves and pray, he said, and seek my face, turning from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. There are many people who restoration is still very powerful because they are still full of themselves. They have not come to a point to understand that your being sacked from the job is not a tribalistic issue. It's that there is a pungency with your human relation skills and you are not an advantage to that job, so they have to throw you away. Oh, these people hate me because I'm from this and that, and you seem to surround yourself with people who keep justifying your mediocrity. We must get to points where we sit down and take responsibility. I must be doing something wrong for this business or this ministry or my family. Why do my children hate me? Five of them and none of them hate me. Not their stupid children, a wasted generation. No, something may be wrong with your strategy of fatherhood. Are we together? Self-examination. Number two. The second key that controls restoration, in addition to self-examination, is brokenness. Brokenness. Please write it very quickly, brokenness. You find that in Psalm 51 and verse 17. Psalm 51 is a very profound psalm of mercy. This was David crying unto God in repentance. Hallelujah. Remember when Prophet Nathan came and revealed to him what happened, and he was crying unto God in a broken state. Here's what he had to say. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Hallelujah. You may want to listen to my teaching on mercy if you can find it. I teach here extensively that the value of mercy is that it is administered to a heart that is broken. Forgiveness is useless if there is no repentance. The mercy of God is not for everyone. As cheap and as free as the mercy of God is, it is a way to administer mercy to a heart that is not broken. So many times God will leave you in your state until you come to an acknowledgement. There is something powerful about the acknowledgement of your limitation. When you take responsibility, then the mercy of God will find value in your life. So brokenness is very, very important. Are you seeing that all like this, you cannot accept wisdom, just accept favor, and pray prayer. But when it has to do with restoration, you will need some time to yourself to reevaluate and to examine yourself. Hallelujah. Number three, the third key that controls restoration is knowledge. Knowledge. Having cried out, self-examination and brokenness are heart matters, not mind matters. They are matters of the heart. This is you flogging it out with destiny to make sure that your heart is pure and aright. But that is not enough. There are things you will need to know that begin to sponsor restoration. Knowledge. Knowledge. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. Let's hurry up so we can find somewhere to pray. Proverbs 11 and verse 9. The Bible says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroying his neighbor. He says, for through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Not through sentiment, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Are we together? What do I need to know that will now sustain my victory and sustain my results? Knowledge. In Isaiah chapter 60, we quoted it yesterday. The Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. That means your rising is light dependent, not time dependent. Light dependent. Just because you have been 10 years in that situation does not guarantee the arrival of a solution. The Bible says you arise and shine only when your light comes. Not even that your light is around. It's always been there. But the day it comes to you as a revelation, that is the day you arise and you shine. Hallelujah. Now let me give us the fourth key. So number one, self-examination. Number two, brokenness. Number three, knowledge. I like number four. And this is what will lead us to the impartition this morning. The fourth key, according to scripture, that controls restoration is engaging the prophetic. The prophetic ministry is the fourth key that controls restoration. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Never forget this scripture. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, read. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all and they are in prison houses. He says they are for a prey and not to be spoiled. They are for a spoil and not their restored. Someone must be the one who has committed to restoration. It says they are seen for a prey, and they remain as a prey because the prophetic voice that must say restore has not yet come. Restore. 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 In 2 Kings chapter 6, from verse 1 to 7, you know that the story. For time's sake, you may not read it, just write for reference 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7. The Bible talks about Elisha and the sons of the prophets who were in training. He said that he told them, where we meet with you is too straight or too small. He said, let us go beyond the Jordan. And while they were trying to cut the wood to prepare a bigger place, the Bible says, for one of them who borrowed an axe head, he fell into the river. That is your Bible. And the man said, alas, master, for it was gone. Two troubles. One, he borrowed it, and now he has lost it. And the Bible says, the prophet came to him and said, where shall it? And he pointed the direction, and he took a stick and threw it there. And the axe head, against gravity, it began to throw off. The prophetic is very powerful, ladies and gentlemen. Every time I talk about the prophetic, I am quick to observe, sadly, that I know that the prophetic needs a lot of work, editing, and cleaning up as far as Nigeria and Africa is concerned. Unfortunately, there are many portraits of the prophetic that do not define the authentic prophetic ministry as captured in scripture. But please do not make a mistake of throwing the baby and the bath water, because the prophetic is a potent force for restoration. Every time men encountered tragedy in the Bible, whether it was with the Shunammite woman or the widow in Zarephath, whether it was hunger in Samaria or the ark exploding, it took the prophetic ministry to bail men out. Hallelujah. There was hunger and famine in Samaria, and it took one prophet to say, by this time, tomorrow. The Bible talks about the wife of the sons of the prophet who had lost her husband and was now in debt. She ran to the prophet and said, listen, this is the situation that I'm in. And he gave her a prophetic strategy, and oil began to multiply, and she sold it and lived off the rest. Let me tell you the truth. I don't know if I've said it in this church, but even Jesus himself, being the Word incarnate, could not excel in his destiny until he encountered three prophets in his life. There were three prophets who helped Jesus to rise. Prophet number one was Simeon the prophet. Prophet number two was Anna the prophetess. Prophet number three was John the Baptist. He had to encounter these three prophets to rise. The prophetic is powerful. It sustains the power to reprogram your spiritual climate. That when you are plagued with losses and ills and woes, and it looks like time is against you, you tap into the prophetic ministry. And let me tell you, the prophetic works wonders when it is administered within the jurisdiction of Scripture. 10 years of tragedy can be solved in one moment of the prophetic. It is true. Do you believe this? Alas, Master, it was borrowed. By this time tomorrow, lock the door and seal up your vessel. Madam, give me a morsel of your bread and water. And he said, this is the last. It is about to finish. And he said, no, not when I am here. It will not be spent. Your water will not be spent. Every time there is a famine in the land, there are two people who never sleep. One is the king, the other is the prophet. These two people are always exempted from the pain of famine. And fortunately for us, in the New Testament, we are both according to Scripture. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 that we have been made unto our God kings and priests. No one that Job said in family shall laugh. Because your office in Christ immunes you from this tragedy if you have sufficient understanding. Is someone listening now? So why are we here gathered this morning? Number one, to share from Scripture that restoration alongside peace are the twofold strategies given by the wisdom of God to men, to help them redeem time. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13, we are mandated to redeem the time because the days are evil. He said to redeem the time. It's an instruction. I hope I got that right. Please look for it for me. To redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to redeem the time. How do you redeem? The concept of redemption, I think that should be verse 16. 16, my apologies. 5:16. Yes. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what it means to redeem? To redeem means to buy back using a price, like a ransom. A bad example, but if a terrorist is capture someone and then they say to bring a ransom, you are redeeming that person. He said to redeem time. In the name of Jesus, we are going to be praying in the few minutes that we have. And three things are going to happen here. Number one, we are going to be praying, connecting yesterday's teaching into today's teaching, that the forces of peace and restoration must find expression in our lives. And then we will now pray and ask that the gracious hand of God that empowers men and also brings restoration, that it will rest upon our lives and grant us acceleration in life. Hallelujah. I have an idea, and I tell you with all humility, what happens when you accept the grace for speed? When you accept the grace for speed and restoration, your life becomes a wonder first to you, and then to every person that cares to pay attention. There is no doubt that we have lost things. There is no doubt that we have lost time. There is no doubt that we have lost people. There is no doubt that we may have lost out on various aspects of our destiny. But hear me, people of God, God is a restorer and God is speaking. And it is speaking to someone, your ministry has gone down, it looks like things you can remember yesteryear. Look, the glory and the honor, and now it looks like it's gone. There was a statement used in the Bible called Ichabod. Ichabod is the departure of the glory. But that the glory of God can be restored upon the life of an individual, the glory of God can be restored upon a ministry, upon a territory. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? So it says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Then it doesn't stop there. And it says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The word glory is the Hebrew word kabod. The Greek is doxa. It means the weightiness, the essence. That which makes a person or a thing valuable is called his glory. Hallelujah. So the glory of a good soul is its efficiency. The glory of a product is the factor within that product that makes it exceptional. When the Bible says the glory of God comes upon you, it means what makes God a craft of himself is what he smells upon you. So that your life now becomes a sign and a wonder. May that be your testimony in the name of Jesus. That by this prayer we are challenging and warring against shame and reproach, warring against all the things that take away beauty and color from life and from destiny. And here, ladies and gentlemen, for adventure you have been victims of all kinds of things connected to ancestry. Because I did tell you that there is no ruling out the role that Satan has to play in taking away the glory from the life of man. Satan is a master at turning day to night. Satan is a master at bringing that statement, this carbon, into the life of people. I once met someone who I used to know years ago, and when I saw him not too long ago, he was looking pale and sick. And I said, what is wrong? What is the situation? And he said, honestly, one thing led to the other, and this is what they've diagnosed that I had. I said, no, the enemy has done this. Jesus, every time he saw what did not capture glory, said the enemy. The Bible calls Satan a thief. What is the assignment of a thief? John 10:10. It says the thief cometh not. That means there is no reason why he should come to your life until he finds what to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I think I said it a few years ago in this church that the presence of Satan around you is a verification that there is a treasure within you. If you see Satan coming close to your family, it means he has seen something you may not be seeing. Satan has no business coming around any place where there is no treasure and there is no value. Because Satan himself depends on the word of God to act. He wants to know what God is saying and who God is speaking to. And that becomes his direction. No wonder he seems to be insistent over your life in this season. Because God has used the man of God to speak great things concerning your life. And you are not the only one who had that prophecy. Satan had it too. And he's now roaming around the corridors of your next level. Insisting. The Bible says there was war in heaven. When a woman was pregnant, ready to give birth to a man child, he said a dragon came and stood, waiting that at the point of delivery she would eat up the child. It is not unusual for Satan to come to attack you. It proves that you are carrying destiny. There is something within you. Maybe your father could not carry. Maybe your mother could not carry. Those who went ahead of you tried and failed. And now it is your turn to carry. And Satan is standing there. Can we pray some prayers this morning? Please rise up for you. Thank you.
Sabalako Saprande Gebelekusia Brahasebelekusia.
The day you become dissatisfied with the negative narratives of your life, that is the day you will be ready for the next level. For as long as you have and tolerate the day, for as long as you have and tolerate the yoke, for as long as you have and tolerate the condition, you will keep your wife from justification for the whole day. Someone will open your mouth and give you the brain. Open your mouth and give you the brain in the spirit. This is my season and this is my way.
Hallelujah, you have won the victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you have won the victory. Let me not hold you down. You are the leader. Your spirit is majesty. You are the leader.
You are here with your prayer request and you are here to submit it. You can do well to have a request in front. So if you are yet to submit your prayer request, you can just walk to the front and drop it right in front there. Please make sure you write your request very quickly. You don't need to walk out here, just drop it right there. Are these prayer requests? Okay, here's what I want to do. Use the basket, use the provisions there. Please, everyone who is here to drop your prayer requests there, and then we're going to be praying on it shortly and speaking over your life. I assure you that this is victory to see today. As surely as the Lord lives, that you will see them no more forever. Let's read Nehemiah chapter 5 while we do that. Nehemiah chapter 5, 11 and 12 is a prayer that I want all of us to pray. So I'll give you a moment to quickly drop your request and then return back to your seat. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please drop it very quickly and then you return back. And for those who are connecting, following online, you can stand in faith with your request as we pray, declaring over this. The God of heaven himself will not leave you in shame. Hallelujah. Once you drop your seat, clear the way for the others so that they will drop it very quickly and then you can return back to your seat.
Ruach Elohim, Ruach Elohim, Ruach Elohim, Ruach Elohim, Ruach Elohim, Ruach Elohim, Jesus.
And you can see it. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Restore, I pray, to them, even to this day, their land, their vineyards, their orchards, and their houses, all the offering of the morning, and of the corn, and of the wine, and of the oil that he exalted them. Then they said, we will restore them. And we will require nothing of them. So we will do as thou sayest. Then I follow the priest and do the law of them, that they should do according to the promise. You are going to make declarations. Everything will declare that the rest of the speech, the second man will be everything. Open your mouth and begin to declare. And your spiritual power. I declare that it's all. It is all right if I request for the altar to just see the prayer requests back and bring them there. So let's just have one person, anybody at all, maybe yourself within the ministry, anybody, just carry the container with the prayer request. Someone, please help the woman so that we make it fast. Yes, please bring it up here. Everyone, just open your mouth and begin to pray. That this is the chance I see today. If someone prays, I see them no more forever. This is the chance I see today. Someone pray in the name of Jesus. Say that you put your head and come by the power that is in the name of Jesus.
Stepwife Penina would always make mockery of her, and she kept crying out to her husband Elkanah. One time the Bible says she made a declaration and she said, Lord, if you would give me, paraphrasing this son, I will give him back to you as a prophet. And the Bible says she went and was crying before the temple, and when Eli saw her, he got offended. He said, what kind of bad attitude is this? You're drunk and you're coming to the house of God. And she said, my Lord, I'm not a woman who is drunk. I'm only communicating my many sorrows because I've been without a child. And the prophet looked at her and said, may God grant unto you your petition. And the Bible says, Samuel came, that mysterious son who became the prophet that ordained the many kings in Israel, a man whose word would not fall to the ground, because it came as a result of a covenant between his mother and God. When we bring prayer requests here, these things are not just rituals. You see, in the kingdom, it is not what you do that holds the power, it's the understanding that supports what you do. You can copy and do what everybody is doing, and yet it is barren of power, like the sons of Sheba. They saw that they were laying hands on demons, on people who were demonized, and they came to try to, and the demons said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. He said, but who are you? I have about 5 more minutes to spend with you, and within these 5 minutes, many of you have carried through this conference. You have traveled from far and near for some of you. Some of you have come crying, you've shut down your businesses and your endeavors this morning. Let me assure you that this God that we serve is a powerful God. And we are going to enter into the next 5 minutes. Is going to be a very prophetic moment. I'm going to be ministering to you, and then we'll pray, standing upon the grace of the angel that is in this house. Listen, do not shortchange yourself through unbelief. The God that we serve is all powerful. You must refuse that. You must insist that this mantle, this grace for peace and restoration, that it must land upon your life. Like Jacob, you can hold on to the 4 horns of the altar and say, I am tired of this repetition of cycles of tragedy and pain. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The power of God will begin to come on people right now. I just saw a wing. Every time that happens, it is because, in fact, the first person I'm seeing now, it is witchcraft God is delivering your family from. This is what I'm saying. Please, I like you like we always do. Please
when I make that case, I want to very quickly, we have about 5 minutes, that those under the anointing, just bring them out very quickly, because I'm seeing that I want you to begin to pray now. You came here to this place, God will not waste your time. I want to pray right now. I just saw that there is a family that I'm seeing, you may not even know that, but there are patterns. You are seeing that everybody in the family is going through the same kind of tragedy. And you have been asking questions, why is this like this? It is because the enemy has done so. I stretch my hands now. In the name of Jesus Christ, wherever you are, under the sound of my voice, I decree and declare, let that anointing, let that grace, that yoke break in anointing. Let it rest upon you right now. 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 I'm going to be able to speak on me, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Is it Abiola? I'm hearing a name. Is it Abiola or something like that? I know there is Viola in the name I'm hearing. Abiola, there's someone with that. Very quickly, I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Please make sure you don't just come out at random. Make sure. What's the name? Abiola, I want to pray for you. The power of God, God is still bringing deliverance. Help the person now under the anointing. I just saw a strong anointing. That demon, that devil of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, release that destiny. You have held that destiny. Alastika sobrandi gabalosiata. There is nothing you cannot do. There's no mountain down. If you have faith, then you will do it. You have a trust before Jesus, your word. I'm going to release the grace of Jesus living, but I'm seeing that there is a strong anointing that is coming on one temple, and it is the call of God upon your life. There is a mighty call that is upon your life, and God is going to raise you in my heart. I don't know where I'm going to sit, but I'm going to sit right now. I want to pray for you. The Lord is telling me, hold 3 people who will start running now under their nose. Just hold them and bring them out. I'm going to pray for the grace of seed. I always will do that. But 3 people, it's an anointing, literally. They will start running. I want you to hold them and bring them out. Let that happen. This is by the Spirit. It is the supernatural ministry of the Spirit. It's not something that is mechanical. By the anointing of the supernatural power of the Spirit, it is the anointing of the living body. You are the living body. When you find the living body together, you are the living body. You are the living body. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Central Bank. That's what I'm saying. Central Bank of Nigeria. I want to pray for you. This message that I've been preaching this conference is what God is about to do in your life. This is what I'm saying. In the name of Jesus Christ, I stretch my hand and I command to be. Oh, God, we cry out to you. It's the presence of God. I want to pray for you. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I don't see you staying long there and see God move you somewhere else. This is something God has already revealed to you. I stretch my hands and I declare, in the name of Jesus Christ, may that grace that will come to the Spirit to your faith, may that grace rest upon you. Receive that grace right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. There is a lady here, even though you are a lady, the Lord is saying and is telling you, you are going to be the one who will use to bring your family out of shame. And listen, there is an anointing that is going to come. I'm praying for everybody, but there is a particular lady and see that God said your mother has been in prayer, that God will at least raise, even if it's one of her children. And the Lord is saying and is telling you that you are the one that can that come upon. I don't know who that person is, wherever you are. May that be fire that is separated.
Everything that was lost, now will become clear. Everything that was lost, now become clear. Everything that was lost, now will become clear. Everything that was lost, now will become clear. Everything that was lost, now will become I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do that.
And yet they say Lawa. Lawa. Something with Lawa is in it. To get someone with such a name, or someone you know, whether you are following or not, for that purpose, the Lord will say, advance death from your family. Every place of death, I command it to come right now. There is a man, I don't know, I'm not speaking by the Spirit. The Lord is saying, in this help that they go to the Lord, make sure you don't stand by them. The Lord is saying, your lack will be greater than your former death. And the name of that city is Abiodun. This is what I'm hearing. Abiodun. And the Lord is saying, your lack will be greater than your former. In the name of Jesus, anyone who gives this prophecy to that name, I prophesy to you by the power that raised Christ from the dead, your lack, let it be greater than your former. You are having dreams, and all that you see are dead people. Dead people who are gone, but you continue to see them is a frequent occurrence that the Lord is saying, I'm praying for you. For the living and the dead are not looking in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that separation now. I command that separation now. that I'm restored of not just to be allowed to go forward, to be restored to the kind of obedience of the Spirit, to the level you should have been. I don't know where you should have been. For some of you, you went to school late, and because of that, even though you are not doing your best, the truth is that you are attending the state of your time, and you cannot be able to do so much. For some of you, you spent your life in Christian life, and now you look like a candidate. The Bible says they are attending for your ministry, and not there at all. Let them be stand by the word of the time with you, and declare for someone here. I command restoration of joy. For the members of Christian Life Bible Church, speed is the prophetic word that God gave the prophet over this house, and I'm lending my voice to him and all who are connected, that in the name of Jesus, no genuine member in this ministry will cross here. That where others are falling, I am empowered to run. Where others are running, I am never going to be blind. In the name of Jesus. There is, when you climb there, even if the distance is a mountain, you can go above it. Mountains are related to the vehicle you are using. Hold on, don't rush and go. There's a reason why I have to come and pray for you before you go. Please. Hallelujah. There are some of you, what you need is not the mountain giving way. What you need is to change the vehicle you are using. For if you are walking, even a fence can look like a limitation to your life. But when you are flying, what is the business of an aircraft is a fence. What is the business of an aircraft is a mountain. A mountain is a phenomenon that only exists for those on land. What is the business of an airline that is 35,000 feet above sea level with the barking of a lion or with a serpent? Certain things only happen to you because you have camped yourself within that domain. I empower you by the Spirit. Rise beyond the level of talent. Rise beyond the level of talent. Rise beyond the level of talent. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the various reasons for which God located you this morning, I put a seal upon your miracle. I put a seal upon your partition. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. This thing I'm going to pray for in the name of the Lord this morning. Can I take over your finances? This is a church that believes in the empowerment of believers. And I agree with that because I have advocated for a long time that if believers are not empowered, they will always walk around the corridors of compromise. Are we together? The empowerment of the saints is one of the sponsors of walking in integrity. That when people are not empowered, especially financially, it will usually push them to the corridors of compromise. God is a God who blesses. The Bible says, let them shout for joy that please my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be glorified. He had pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 8:9, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that he through his poverty might become rich. One of the 7 prophetic blessings that the Lamb received for us is riches. Not in a carnal, mundane, self-seeking way. Wealth is a purpose connected to the kingdom. I may have said it here, but if not, let me say that there are 3 major assignments of financial prosperity. Number 1, for your comfort. Number 2, for kingdom advance. Number 3, to empower you to be a blessing to your world. in a practical and a definite way. Anything outside of this jurisdiction is not God's idea about wealth. And that classically speaking, wealth solves the problem of time redemption and efficiency. When God empowers you, it is to help you to be efficient in life and then to be able to redeem time. There are many dimensions of wealth, as I may have taught in this church, but the dimension that God is helping us to receive now is the prophetic dimension of wealth. The prophet said, by this time tomorrow, and a foolish man questioned him with intelligence and said, listen, we know how this thing works. You know, many people think when it comes to the issue of money that men of God don't know anything about it. It may be true for a number of cases, but that is not true for all cases. The person speaking to you is not in ignorance as to how money works. But I admit to you there is a superior dimension of the prophetic where God can help men. He is called Ebenezer. Are we together now? There are times like Peter where your boat can be fine. Your fishing skill can be fine. The sea is where you catch it. You can be in the right location, having the right skill and the right tool, yet you will not catch it. At such point, what you need is not fishing again. What you need is Jesus. He's the only one who has the authority to tell you, cast your net to the right side, and you will suddenly catch fish. Enough that your net will begin to break and your boat will sink. Let me speak over your life. Many things have happened to God's people economically, right from COVID into this year. There's been a very strong challenges across the nations of the world. This is not an African thing, but in the name of Jesus, the Bible declares that in famine you shall laugh. Therefore, I prophesy, you will have no reason to beg in this year. In the name of Jesus, I am not your idea. I am not your peace. I am not your fear. I have nothing to do for you. My first word of call, as far as helping the body of Christ attain unto maturity, is ensuring that your fire and your passion for God and for the things of God never dwindle. It doesn't matter what you know, if your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and your passion for Him is not ever growing, your life is under attack. It's as simple as that. Are we together? This is more than an altar call. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to be passionate about the things of God and to be grounded in righteousness. So while we desire that we excel in every other aspect of our life, I will not be fearful to let you know that no matter what works, if it is minus your relationship with Jesus, you have not done much. That is the truth. And this is more than just an altar call to give your life to Jesus. It is a practical and definite work. I love Jesus with all my heart, and there is absolutely nothing and no one that sustains the ability. No ambition is worthy enough to defeat my passion for Him. This must become your state, so that it does not become all about prosperity or all about making it or going forward. These systems of advantage you will always see, but not at the detriment of your relationship with Jesus. So let me speak one final time over your walk with God. The Bible says, if I desire above all things that you prosper, he says, and to be in health. Then he says, even as your soul prospereth. Father, I pray over your people, and I decree and declare that anyone whose spiritual life has gone down, delay and retrogression and stagnation, as far as your prayer life, your word study life, your passion for the house of God, walking in character and righteousness and uprightness, I declare that if there is anything that is inconsistent with the demands that God expects from a believer's life, Let grace be released upon you right now. For the Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He says, for his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he says, upon that law does he meditate day and night. For such a person, he says, he will be like a tree that is planted by the springs of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. I pray for you, every wrong and negative association that is antichrist, that continues to push you out and away from spiritual things, we command that separation right now. In the name of Jesus. For Victory Life Bible Church, keep going from glory to glory. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The Lord bless you.